Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Have you heard you can listen to your favorite news podcasts ad-free? Good news. With Amazon Music, you have access to the largest catalog of ad-free top podcasts included with your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or visit amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free and catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
You know, every day we talk about issues of, you know, of importance to the working class. In fact, you know, in the last hour, we were talking with Dr. Allison Gill about the abortion issue, which, you know, I think right now is the most important issue to women in this country, their right to self-determination. But, you know, all of the issues that have been coming up, from racism to sexism to the gender problems that we're struggling with, all of this comes back to working people getting the short end of the stick and the struggles that come out of it. And I love when people write books telling stories of struggle and success and people fighting, and I like winning. I mean, yeah, this is one of the things I think, you know, the former guy talked about that was so engaging. I like winning. No, not that kind of winning, but I like winning. And I think that's why this book caught my attention. It's a fiction, which is, you know, when you're talking about historical context, fiction, you know, change the name to protect the innocent and, well, the vulnerable. But I think it's well worth it. That's why I've asked the author to come talk with me, Elaine Bravo, and her husband, Larry Miller. They wrote this book called Standing Up, Tales of Struggle. And that's why I've asked Ellen Bravo to come share some thoughts on the book. Ellen, thanks for taking time for us.
My pleasure. So glad to be here. Thank you.
So like I said, I'm reading through this, and, you know, there's a lot of historical stuff in here, but it's written, you know, from the, you know, a fictional kind of way with the main characters, who I can only assume are you and your husband, or I think, right?
Yes. So Nick is inspired by Larry, and the character Sophie is inspired by me.
And what made you want to write a book that spanned, I mean, this is spanning, what, 5 decades?
Right, 50 years. We wanted to tell stories about the people that the author Mbolo Mbue calls the deliberately unheard. People aren't voiceless. They all have voices. They just don't have a megaphone. And the people controlling the megaphone try to make sure that they don't get heard. So we want to tell stories about people that are often left out and show the moments in particular when they realize that the exploitation and the oppression they face is not inevitable. It's changeable. And in fact, they're the ones who can change it, but not all by themselves when they work together. Yeah. And we wanted to show that glorious feeling of stepping into power and the small wins and the recognition that that has to go on. There is no substitution for building relationships, organizing for long-term change.
Now, one of the stories that caught my attention in particular was, you know, during the Reagan era, talking about the assaults on on the social safety net. You know, as a kid growing up in the projects, I remember lining up at the local public school in the summertime for the school lunch programs they had there over the summertime. And I remember, you know, you get a little hot lunch of something that for most of the kids in that line was the only hot meal they would get in a daytime. And I remember one of the first things Reagan did was to eviscerate that program. So to see in the book that you talk about that kind of grabbed my attention because I actually lived, you know, some of that experience.
Yeah. That particular chapter, there's a chapter called The State Hastens to Say, is about a visit to a welfare office. And one of the things I wanted to show there that we try to grapple with throughout the book is the importance of white organizers, white workers, learning to fight racism, how it gets encountered, why it's so important, and to show the leadership of Black workers and also the friendships that get forged in the process.
And I think the important part of this, and look, as somebody who's done some organizing in my lifetime, you know, understanding those divides are so important. And that's why I think this, again, this is an important read. And it's not a kind of a history book kind of read. It's an enjoyable kind of read because it flows well. But, you know, it's those lessons that I think you were trying to get at of talking about how to bridge those divides, those things that keep us pitted against each other. Because it's where I started today's program off at, you know, how we're, you know, take any issue and how we're easily divided and sliced and diced and pitted against each other, white, black, male, female, gay, straight, whatever. All of those divisions are what tear us apart. And if we want real progress, we may have to hold hands and stand shoulder to shoulder with people we may not always agree with.
Well, and the best way to link arms and stand shoulder to shoulder is to have each other's back. And the best way to get people to have each other's back is to understand that the person oppressing us is the same. So, for example, when you said that abortion is the biggest issue right now for women, that's true, but it's also a biggest issue for all of us, because if they get away with that, it will, the autonomy that gets threatened, yes, women are going to get the brunt of it and they're going to get it first, but it strengthens the hand of those who are oppressing us all. There are a host of other issues that will get struck down if they get away with it. The good news is that we know how to stop them. This says a lot about what we need to do in November and ongoing to make sure who is making these decisions and that they come from us, that we turn out as many people as we can, and that we send a very loud message: you will not get away with this.
Is that the point of the book now? I mean, you know, that kind of activism, that kind of engagement now, is that the reason for the timing, or was this just, hey, this is when we put the book out, it just happened to be the next crisis that came up?
The truth is, always is the right time. And one of the things that we wanted to show, I was most proud of people like Rinku Sen, who praised the book because it normalizes organizing. And it shows that organizers are regular people who fall in love and like to eat and have kids and have sex and have joy and grieve and worry, but mainly have wonderful lives, and that you don't have to be superhuman to do it, and also demystifies organizing so that you can say, oh, I could see myself doing that, and makes it clear that we can win and why, what we deserve and how we get it.
Yeah, to take a little detour then off of what you just said, you know, I'm looking at, you know, Christian Smalls and the Amazon Labor Union in Staten Island, the victory they had at JFK 8. And the model that they followed was very, very much a grassroots, you know, member to member, worker to worker organizing method that, you know, my grandparents' generation, I believe, you know, used in building community and doing what I've been saying for years doing this program of, I believe unions are about community. They're about people. They're about, you know, shared experiences and all of us. That's the model that they took, and that's the direction that they went. So I kind of think that the two of these, your book and that, kind of walk in the same direction.
Absolutely. I'm really proud that Natalie Monaris, who's one of the worker leaders at Amazon JFK 8, is going to be in conversation with us in New York on June 8th. And I said to her, I can't wait for you to read the chapter called The Union Makes Us Strong. And I said, especially see what they do in the bathrooms, because she was telling me about step by step the kind of organizing they did. And that's exactly the model that these workers use. It's at the call center of an airline reservation. And, you know, the workers realized that going to each other's houses, having hard conversations, speaking to people where they are, making it easy for them to get involved themselves, standing up to the bosses, using what they had to tear down the notices, the misinformation that the union busters put up. It so reminds me of what happened at the Amazon warehouse. So I was really excited about that.
You listen to the Rick Smith Show here with Elaine Bravo. She is the co-author of Standing Up, Tales of Struggle. We'll get links out on social media how you can check out where you can get this. I hope you don't go to the A place. Maybe Powell's Books. We'll find a place where or ElaineBravo.com. I'm sure there's a way to get it there as well. Or EllenBravo.com.
That's okay. We'll take you also to Hardball Press, the publisher. You can order there. But go to your independent bookstore, and if they have say, oh, get this book in, and then you.
My tweeter extraordinaire will make sure we get the right links, because she is my spell checker. She's my linguistic expert and all of that. But, you know, in looking at this and you know, I'm looking at the book and I'm going, you know, what do we want to take out of this? And again, it's my view is it's the power of we the people to come together to organize and to fight for a future that is better for working people. That's basically the thesis of everything that I want to accomplish. Is that kind of the hope here?
It really is. It shows that change comes from the bottom up, not from the top down. It shows that people can grow and change. And one of the things you'll see when you look at the testimonials, I was so excited how many people pointed out that the book is about joy, it's about love, it's about relationships, and it's about the power of the people rather than the people in power.
No, I mean, it's just one of those, it's one of those things that it's a good read, but it's also positive, and I like that. Instead of, you know, a how-to cookbook kind of thing, it doesn't bludgeon you with the message, which I think is good. In going through the book, you know, what story in this do you think is the thing that really grabs you, that for you is your favorite bit?
So it's hard to say. I'll mention a couple of them. One of them is the one we mentioned, The Union Makes You Strong. Another one is the one called Listen to the Children. It's about how a group of children won family leave in Wisconsin. That was one of the autobiographical chapters. And it shows both the importance of engaging kids, but also how much our kids are already hearing and knowing what our lives are like.
Right.
And taking it on themselves to go to school sick so their mom won't get fired, and why they can be part of the change we're making.
Yeah, I do want to ask you about that.
Go ahead.
I do want to ask, because you said it's a little bit autobiographical, because your own son was in an accident and actually did some lobbying to get Tommy Thompson, the governor at the time in Wisconsin, to sign an expanded health care bill that he didn't want to do. And as I'm reading through this, I'm going, you know, Tommy Thompson, you know, turned into, you know, a pretty far right character. And it just shows how far the Republican Party, especially in Wisconsin, has gone over the last, you know, 30 years.
It's true. But, you know, the other thing that happened is those kids were so powerful. Reporters were walking into the governor's office saying, did you hear those kids? How can you possibly not sign this bill? With tears streaming down their face. That made a difference. Those kids had an impact. And he said that. So my son turned into a daughter in the book. He was proud to do that. But he came with me to the bill signing, and the governor pointed to him and said, you know, it's because of the kids that I'm signing this. And he offered my child the pen, and my son looked at me, and I could tell the look meant, look, I know he's a bad guy, but I want that pen. And I nodded and said, of course, you can have it.
Of course. Do you still have it?
We still have it. They were very proud that they had that effect. And the headline the next day, just like it says in the chapter, was Children Lobbyists Win Lawmakers' Hearts. So sometimes that actually happens.
No, see, those are the kind of uplifting, incredible stories that, that people need to hear. Because so much of what we get from stories and from our news, especially, is the negative stuff, is the down stuff. So to finally, you know, something positive of people organizing, people succeeding, lives getting better. I'm all in favor of it. I think it's a good thing. I hope people will check out the book Standing Up, Tales of Struggle, written by Ellen Bravo and her husband Larry Miller. We will get links out. EllenBravo.com, the website, we'll get that out also. We'll get some other stuff.
I'll just say one last thing. This is also a love story. My 97-year-old friend complained that there wasn't more sex. My older son thought there was too much. I think it's just right, and I hope you do too.
There you go. Ellen, I appreciate the time. Great talking with you. Thanks so much.
Love talking to you. Thanks a lot. Take good care.
Again, the book, Standing Up, Tales of Struggle, written by Ellen Bravo and Larry Miller. We will get links out on social media, how you can check it out. EllenBravo.com, the website. We'll get that out as well. Your thoughts, 1-866-416-RICK, 1-866-416-7425. Going to take a quick break. Back on the other side. Just joining us, make sure you grab the podcast. Never miss an episode. Subscribe, like, share, comment, all of that stuff. Back after this.
To the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
1-866-416-RICK, 1-866-416-7425. Interesting little tidbit. Republican candidate from Minnesota evidently wants to eliminate early childhood education. Minnesota State Representative Steve Drazkowski evidently argued that if they can get rid of early childhood education, that parents should be able to raise their kids and tell their kids at five, at least before government comes with a school bus, backs it up to the maternity ward room door and takes them to the government school. Okay, so you're going to abolish early childhood education. What are you going to do in its place? Here's a thought. Here's a question. Honest question. Because I might be convincible. I might be someone you could go, yeah, maybe we don't put kids in school at five. Maybe we let them stay at home with their mother or their father or their parents. Maybe that bonding is more important than sending them to school. Maybe. What policy are you going to move to make that possible? What policy are you going to do to help families get through this? Is there a maternity policy coming? Is there a way for mom to stay home for a couple of years? Because I know the sacrifices that my wife and I have made over the years to make sure that my wife was able to stay home with our children, that fortunately we were able to make, that most couples are not. Maybe, just a thought, because there are crummy employers out there, and lots of them, and even some of them that are Democrats. I point to Texas Democratic Representative Henry Cloulier, who evidently, this is the report by Jezebel, evidently discredited and fired a staffer who was 28 weeks pregnant because she requested maternity leave. And then evidently, according to the reports, court documents show that the congressman himself requested that other staffers write letters about the woman's job performances after he fired her. So what policies are you going to move to protect women who are pregnant from giant pieces of garbage like this? And there are tons of them. What policies are you going to move to encourage families to have children? Oh, that's right. Crickets. None. Because you don't have anything. And this is my problem with the entire Republican establishment. There's nothing. There's no policy there. There's no help. There's you're on your own. And the frustrating part of this is I know early childhood education helps. I know that if you can get kids learning early, they're going to do so much better in school. if you instill a love of learning early, they're going to do so much better in life. Problem. Here's the problem. What happens when you don't have all of the kids moving in that same direction? What you end up in, and I've seen this happen, you have a handful of kids, usually the homeschooled types, because we got the Bible, we're going to quote them and tote them, that then weigh classrooms down. So all of those kids who had the advantage going into kindergarten, first grade, second grade, they're being held back by the people who go, no, I don't want to have my kid go to no government school. Instead of saying, no, we want to make sure that all kids have opportunities. Here's the weird thing, and this my email box full today, of outraged parents. You know, the type that, we should do away with government school. Outraged parents who are ticked at Joe Biden for saying that teachers care about kids, almost like they're their own. You know, I want my kids' teachers to think of my kids as special. Like they would almost think of their own, not as their own, but like their own. Would care if they're sick, would care if they're learning, would care about their future. But my email box full of people to tell me why teachers shouldn't care about their students like that. And why these outraged parents are now organizing around the fact that teachers shouldn't care this much and they care too much about the kids. Craziness. Literal craziness. But this is what the big moneyed interests have done to us. They've put us in this position where we're ready to go after each other over insanity. Got an email from Jen. Jen listening on WTTN 1580 AM 92.7 FM Madison, Wisconsin. Rick, have you seen this appalling story from Alabama? I have a friend whose son was born with a genital problem. She doesn't say what it is. Does this mean if they live in Alabama, the doctors would have to wait until the child's 18 to correct it? Don't know what the problem was to correct. What kind of scars would that leave? It's horrible these people are doing this to families. My friend is so distraught. Keep speaking out for the voiceless. And she attaches a story about how a new Alabama law is going to ban medical treatment for minors with gender dysphoria. I don't know why the people who tell us that government should be out of our lives are putting government directly in our lives. But this is where Alabama is going. Alabama, who has one of the worst education systems in the country, one of the worst healthcare systems, one of the worst poverty problems, standard of living problems. You go down the list. But this is so important that we've got to move on. Now, I don't know what I would do in a situation if my child had gender dysphoria. Don't know. But I do know, and I've said this from the beginning, Jen, that I don't believe government should be the person to tell you that. And I don't know what your friend's child's problem was. But I also know government shouldn't have any say in that either. That should be between the parents and the doctor, which, again, is kind of weird coming from the earlier story of parents who don't think we should have government schools or have teachers who care about kids, but they care enough to ensure that, well, doctors don't do anything to kids because somehow they care. What kind of a rabbit hole have we fallen into? What kind of a rabbit hole have we fallen into where we got a Supreme Court justice talking about the domestic supply of infants? And when are we going to come to some sanity around all of this is meant to tear us apart? All of this is meant to keep us angry at each other. Jen, it is appalling. It's appalling that all these states are doing this stuff, especially the red states. You know, the red states who have seen a huge jump in people dying from the coronavirus that they've completely forgotten about. You know, we're over a million people who have been killed by corona. And you wouldn't know it. Sad stuff. Love to hear your thoughts. You can email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. If you're just joining us, make sure you grab the podcast. You can get that on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, wherever you get your favorite podcast. It's always there. Make sure you subscribe, share, like, comment. Quick break, right back after this.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.